Chapter 7. Living Humility. The virtue of humility is founded not only on grace, but also self-knowledge. Saint Jose Maria Escriva notes, "Humility means looking at ourselves as we really are, honestly and without excuses. And when we realize that we are worth hardly anything, we can then open ourselves to God's greatness. It is there that our greatness lies." In other words, we not only understand our strong points, but also our defects. Humility allows us to be at ease with our abilities without thrusting them down another's throat. We graciously accept compliments rather than denying our ability in some area. To deny abilities is another form of pride. To grow in self-knowledge, we need to cooperate with one special gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of knowledge. The knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives us is not book knowledge or prophetic knowledge, but knowledge about ourselves and our failings. Father Gary Devery from Sydney, Australia explains that the first work of the Holy Spirit is to convince us of our sin. It is a convincing that is not accusative, but diagnostic. The Holy Spirit draws us into a journey of conversion, an emptying of ourselves of our egoism. The Word of God begins us on the journey of knowing ourselves profoundly. When we are salvifically convinced of our sin, we arrive at humility. Living in humility by the grace of the Holy Spirit, the Christian journey of permanent conversion can be lived in simplicity. With this self-knowledge revealed by the Holy Spirit, the Christian has discernment on his life. Discernment is a principal aspect of the gift of knowledge given by the Holy Spirit. Remember, each time we receive any of the sacraments, we receive an infusion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. To grow in humility, we need the frequent reception of the sacraments to receive the gift of self-knowledge. The sacraments fertilize and nourish the good soil, humility, in the garden of the soul, enabling good, strong spiritual fruit to grow. Without the soil of humility, these gifts and graces cannot take root and will die. Recall Jesus' parable in Scripture when he talks about the seeds falling on infertile ground. If we lack humility, God's graces cannot penetrate the solid clay, hardness, of our souls. We know that when pride enters our soul, it drives a train right through the crop, destroying everything. The frequent reception of the sacrament of reconciliation is vital in the development of humility. One indication that we are growing in humility is the frequent reception of the sacrament of confession. Proud people avoid confession. That is not to say that people who go to weekly confession have achieved high humility. They could be guilty of spiritual pride. See how careful we have to be with this virtue and its companion vices? We must stress, to acquire humility, self-knowledge is absolutely vital. No man can be humble if he does not know himself thoroughly. We should constantly be asking in prayer for the gift of self-knowledge. If we do not know ourselves, we also will not know our Creator, because the two knowledges are closely connected. One will lead to the other. It is not possible to come to a good understanding of God except by a true knowledge of self. And nobody really knows himself if he does not keep in mind his own nothingness. Saint Bonaventure says, "All our sins are due to negligence, passion, or malice." When we realize that our offenses originate in one or another of these causes, we begin to understand ourselves. And unless, in our recollection of our past sins, we put our finger on the precise cause of each sin, we shall never reach the goal of perfect self-knowledge. When we know ourselves as we really are in God's sight, the vain and inaccurate opinion we have of self immediately vanishes. Our eyes are open when we see only nothingness and sin within ourselves. This humble-mindedness is very important and the foundation for being humble, but it is not humility. It is only knowledge. And no virtue exists in knowledge alone. Not in the intellect is virtue found. Rather, it is always in the will. Knowledge of the fact that we are nothing does not make us humble. This is mere theoretical knowledge which is easily learned, but by itself it is useless. There is a difference between knowing and knowing. We know, for example, that one day we will die. We will know it in a different way when the doctor says we only have a week to live. Only then shall we realize the knowledge. We also have the knowledge that God is everywhere. But really, how few people realize it. In a similar way, we may know of our nothingness, but only by the grace of God do we fully realize it and become deeply aware of it. It is not something that is simply in our heads anymore. it becomes practical. Humble-mindedness has to lead us on to humble-heartedness, meaning it gives rise by a natural consequence to humility in the heart or will. When we have attained this true knowledge with the help of God, we come to a contempt for self. True self-knowledge means that we do not think ourselves to be above what we are. This makes our will act. Our wills hold in check our urge to want to do great things all the time, to exalt ourselves above the rest. From this gift of light we receive on self, we come to depreciate self. And out of this self-abasement, there follows a due subjection to God. In this subjection, we have the essence of the virtue. Humility principally consists in the subjection of man to God. This subordination must exist in us, at least to the extent of avoiding grave sin. How does a humble person react? Dr. David Isaacs of the University of Navarre points out, "A humble person recognizes his own inadequacy, qualities, and abilities, and presses them into service, doing good without attracting or expecting the applause of others." Don't forget, humility is the virtue that refrains from purposely exciting jealousy or envy. St. Peter Aimard taught that there are two motives and two ways to practice humility. One comes from the realization of our sinfulness, and the other from our love of Jesus Christ humiliated. The first type is a negative humility. The second is positive. Both types are found in the humility of the mind and the humility of the heart. To live the virtue of humility, learn to imitate Jesus Christ. Jesus, being God, knew all things, yet he never boasted, bragged, or even indicated that he knew all. He never sought to shine, to pass for a genius, or to seem better informed than others. Even when he stood in the midst of the teachers in the temple, he listened and asked them questions to improve his knowledge. If asked for a miracle, he prayed to his Father before working it, as if to beg for the needed power. Even in his teachings, he attests that he merely repeats the words of his Father. Following Christ's example, we should not make of God's gifts a subject of personal pride, nor look upon them as our own, as if they came from us, but confess that they come from God. Teens, especially, who think they know everything, need to imitate the humble example of Christ.